We're all kind of familiar with looking out into the cosmos and wondering about black holes and the beginning of the universe. And is there life, you know, on other planets? And these things are naturally awe-inspiring. And many people don't realize, actually, that consciousness is on, in some ways, on equal footing with these other great mysteries. But the difference is it's here with us in every moment. We have always assumed in modern time consciousness is analogous to something like a light bulb. Seems miraculous to flip a switch and suddenly a room is flooded with light. But once you understand the details, once you understand electricity and the mechanics of a light bulb, it's something you can understand. It's not really mysterious. And I think a lot of people have assumed that consciousness is analogous to that. And I think there are many reasons why that analogy actually doesn't hold. So the way I'm using the word consciousness, people use the word in a variety of ways, and often it makes it a confusing term. And actually, the best term, I think, is experience, to really point to the most fundamental sense of consciousness. Many people use the word consciousness to kind of talk about higher order reasoning, self-awareness, things like that. But I'm using it in the most fundamental sense, simply having an experience. It's fascinating that we have this intuition somehow that this isn't the case, but of course we know that our experience, our conscious experience in this moment, and all of the content that's flooding in through this experience is a result of brain processing. And if you change the brain, the experience changes, the thoughts change, the feelings change. It's certainly possible to imagine and feasible to postulate a scientific understanding of experience in a very, very minimal form. There is something about consciousness where you can say it is binary in a sense, even though there's this spectrum once you get on the spectrum where the content can grow and get more and more complex. But as soon as you get to the end of that spectrum at its most simple form and then drop off of it, you're talking about no experience at all. I think it's wonderful for human beings to contemplate in the same way that it's good for us to contemplate all of the mysteries. I also think that mysteries are really uniting. When all of humanity is facing something that they don't understand, I actually think there's something really beautiful about that, and it really connects us in a way. And on the other side, I actually think we have a lot to learn, and I even think in some ways we've learned a lot through modern neuroscience that is so counterintuitive that we have not yet absorbed the implications of what we've already learned. And again, this is about challenging intuitions and how important this is in the scientific process. So this is true in any time we gain new knowledge that's groundbreaking. There always seems to be this period of time where we're wrestling with our intuitions in everything from when we finally understood that the Earth is a sphere and not flat, to understanding the germ theory of disease, to understanding that space and time are warped by gravity. These are all things that when we discover them, when we encounter them, they're so counterintuitive. There's always this period of time when scientists are kind of wrestling with their intuitions before they can make progress. Because when things are so counter to our intuitions, we have a hard time accepting them. And so you kind of have to face the same evidence over and over again and then kind of reshape your intuitions in order to think about the world in this new way so that the science can progress. And so I think we're at a place like that with consciousness right now. So I think it's really important for us to be challenging our intuitions about consciousness. Is consciousness doing anything? Is it serving a function? Is it driving our behavior? And again, all of us think, yes, of course, absolutely. I couldn't. There's so many things I couldn't do just, you know, in my daily life today, thinking through certain choices. When we have a fear response to something, you know, running away from a dangerous situation, my car catches on fire and I run in the other direction. We feel that consciousness is truly motivating so much of our behavior. And that's the one that I think we now have modern neuroscience telling us that intuition is at least off, if not completely wrong. I think people can feel very out of control. And I mean, there's something jarring about learning that everything, the things that feel most true to you about reality are possibly not structured that way. I think people also experience a lot of relief from this idea that they are responsible for all of that processing too. And so this gets into, when I talk about these examples in my book, I'm specifically talking about two illusions that I think inform our view of consciousness, which is why I spend a lot of time on them. And one is this illusion of conscious will, and one is the illusion of being a self. This false sense of a self is actually where a lot of human suffering comes from. And part of it is what I was just getting at, which is that we have this idea that, you know, even though we understand that we're brain processing, you know, at bottom, somehow, we have this very strong intuition that there is a me that is separate from the brain processing. There can be a lot of guilt and regret and things like this that come about because of kind of a false way of viewing what, in fact, we are and what our conscious experience is. Conscious will is the idea that consciousness is the thing that is the will. The thing that I think is a true illusion is that consciousness comes first. And consciousness is again wrapped up in this idea of a self, so that there's this self that's kind of floating free from the material world somehow and is initiating everything that happens. And I think that is a false view. At the level of the brain, scientists can see markers or activity that reveal to them you are about to make a decision or make a movement before you have become conscious of it. So through fMRI, neuroscientists were able to detect up to 4 seconds prior when that person would make the decision and whether their decision was to add or subtract. If we see this level of similarity in behavior in other systems, and it's very hard to get conclusive evidence of a system being conscious if it's not a human being who can speak and talk to you about it, we have to start to really ask the question whether consciousness goes much deeper than we imagine. If those types of processes don't require consciousness, maybe we're wrong in thinking that all of the complex behavior in humans requires consciousness and that there's another explanation for it. This idea that consciousness could be a fundamental feature of the universe, could be another, in a sense, another property of matter. These ideas in no way suggest that atoms or electrons have any kind of thoughts or plans or, you know, anything human-like. They're nothing like a human. So the experiment is set up very basically. They're shooting photons one at a time at a screen, and in between the photons that are being shot out and the screen are 2 slits. And so if you were going to put through a continuous light source, you would see a wave pattern on the other side. The light is kind of going through both slits. So then it turns out that if you shoot one photon at a time and you measure which slit each individual photon went through, you have a different pattern on the screen. And all of a sudden, it looks as if you were shooting individual pellets. Some interaction with other matter in the room, whether consciousness is present or not, absolutely has an effect. And this is what quantum mechanics was born out of, quantum physics. So if there's a quasar, and in between us and the quasar is a black hole, the light will bend, and it will give the illusion to us that there are 2 quasars rather than one, because the light bends and causes this illusion to take place. If we were to measure which side an individual photon, which side of that black hole the individual photon went around, that would essentially change the past. Just by measuring it will then give it a distinct location, in the same way that it gives a distinct location by measuring it when it goes through the slits.
But millions of years ago.
So in some sense, and we don't know how to explain this in terms of the fundamental nature of reality and whether this means there are, you know, endless copies of the universe and the universe kind of splits every time a quantum event happens, we can't necessarily get information about a conscious experience always. So we assume, because we are complex creatures and we are conscious, we assume that it is a complex phenomenon, and we assume that the more something is like us, the more likely it is to have consciousness. I think that is an assumption that may or may not be true, but it's really just an assumption. We have no evidence for that being the case. So we certainly can't rely on communication and behavior to tell us how possible it is that there's consciousness there. So emergence is a physical phenomenon that can be witnessed from the outside, and it's a complex phenomenon. It comes out of complexity. And again, we have no evidence that consciousness is due to complexity. My intuitions align there. And I think it's why we need to spend some time challenging our intuitions, because the evidence is actually not there. And there are many reasons to think and many reasons why explaining this mystery, there seems to be a better path to explaining it if it's a property that already exists in matter, where those intuitions are likely leading us in the wrong direction. And at the very least, we've gone in that direction all this time and we haven't gotten any closer to understanding how it is that non-conscious matter, that these atoms in the universe that had no consciousness all of this time, somehow come together in a way. It's actually, when you look at the details, it's very hard to see how the addition of an experience associated with that processing comes into being at any point, why that would be.